My boner is ready.
Oh my god. My burps are like a little purring kitten.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk about our geeky boners. I talk about the Dark Tower, Tim talks about Yellowstone, and Nick talks about Attack on Titan. This porridge is just right.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Nick Glover.
Hi.
And Tim Wick.
That's the other guy.
And today is a Geeky Boners episode. Yes.
Wrong.
Oh, so hard. Okay.
It's been a while since I've had a boner.
I've had this boner that my boner I feel like I've had my whole life. So I'm excited to talk about it.
Pre-puberty boner. It's a pre-puberty boner.
It's still long and hard though. I was a gifted child.
I guess.
Wow.
I guess.
Endowed.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, Nick. What's your boner? What's got you throbbing?
My distension. Boner is for Attack on Titan.
Ooh.
What is Attack on? Is that's a game? I assume.
It's a light novel. That was adapted to a manga, which was adapted to an anime series. Though there have been a few video games, but I don't think they've come to America yet.
Okay.
Because they're just on like the first season of the anime, and then the manga's a few ahead, like compare seasons ish books, not whatever. But it's serial. It is weirdly post-apocalyptic.
Yeah. Yeah,
It takes place like 2,000 years in the future. I would guess from the names and the culture and the architecture that it's probably European.
Yeah, area. It seems that way, and but there's a good mix of.
It's very much like Battlestar Galactica in that humanity is all but fucking gone. There is one last like bastion of humanity left. That's hiding in this town that has three concentric walls surrounding it. Huge.
Like 50, 100-foot walls.
200-foot-tall walls.
Yeah,
60 meters.
Do you know what's on the other side of the
yes.
walls?
Yeah.
Humanity has been chased here by Titans, which are usually somewhere between 3 and 15 meter tall, genitalless, naked, smiling.
They look like people, like giants.
And they kind of move awkwardly and retardedly.
But they have big crescent mouths with huge teeth.
They don't speak. They don't express any emotion other than kind of like a sad delight or joy. And they live to eat people.
Huh.
And gruesome and gory and
to tear people to pieces.
And they are effectively immortal and unstoppable, with the exception of one weak point at the nape of their neck needs to be cut. If you blow their head off with a cannon, it will regrow. Their hands will regenerate, and all like they are just driven by some force to eat people, and they don't need them for nutrition. They don't. Talk. They don't hate us. They're not angry. They just need to eat people.
Maybe they do need them for nutrition.
They seem to be sunlight powered-ish.
So maybe it's like maybe we're like cookies. Like I don't need cookies for nutrition, but yeah. I'm gonna go.
But hot damn, I like cookies.
On that plate of cookies.
So it's been
especially
like,
when they scream.
It's been like 100 years or something like that since. Titans were ever like a problem. Like humanity is hid behind these walls. Great, the biggest wall is so big that there's like a mountain in it, and there's tons of farmland and a river runs through the whole city. And
like
everything.
Three Great Walls of China, like in a circle together.
Yep.
Like
yeah.
So one day, a 60 meter tall Titan appears. And knocks down a portion of their outer wall, and 20% of the remaining human race is wiped out in one fell swoop.
Wow. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Yep. And the protagonist's whole world is fucked up. He's this kid, and he decides that he's going to join the Academy to join the military force that are the people that protect humanity from the Titans. And there's, you know, a few episodes of that training montage, getting to know all these huge casts of characters.
Like the beginning of Ender's Game, kind of.
It rivals Game of Thrones or like Blake 7 in terms of introducing characters, giving them backstory, flushing them out, and then murdering them before your eyes. Like, it is, do not get attached to any quirky little side character, because they all die. Every single fucking one
Spoilers,
of them.
Spoilers, everybody dies.
And, well, I mean, it's like, morale is a really big issue. Humanity is a really big issue. And there's some weird connection to Titans with some people, and it kind of reminds me of the Cylons in BSG, and the way it's like, there might be Titans among us, even though the majority of Titans are these mindless human eaters. Some of them, like the weird Colossus that appeared, seem to have tactics in mind when they're killing things. And most of the time, these are shrugged off as aberrants that can run fast or jump or, you know, unique variants, I think is the term they use, which just makes me think of comic book covers. But, But then, like, there's all this flashback stuff with this kid growing up, and, like, he's, like, murdering people to save people's lives when he was, like, 9 or 10, and, like, he's just had a really gruesome heart. No one's had an easy life.
Right.
But then there's this, like, really political undertone that the city is essentially, like, fiefdom. Like, there's definitely a mercantile class that's way above everyone else. And like, most of the farmer people were most of the people that died, and they're the ones who will always get eaten first, and, like, there's definitely some political aspects. Like,
so humanity isn't, it's not like a wonderful utopia behind those
walls. It's incredibly low-tech, except for the police military guys have these things called 3D maneuver suits that are, like, side, leg, gas-powered, grappling hook Spider-Man outfits.
Sweet.
So they, like, are swinging and
I have yet to see this in action. I only watched
through the cities because they have to get up to Titan height to cut the backs of their necks with their swords.
Right.
And so they have, like, you know those like craft razor blades that you click them out and the blades snap every, like, centimeter? That's what their swords look like, because they need their swords to break off on Titan bone and not slow down their 3D rapid Spider-Man movement through
That's
the city.
Super cool.
So their little jetpack holster things, like gas canisters, have on each left and right side four more blades that they can just click their handles into and pull out new blades.
That's awesome.
They're, like, made to be disposable.
Super awesome.
Yeah, it's super cool. And I think there's an entire first season out that's all going to be subtitled. But it's on everything. I mean, like, Adult Swim is showing it Saturday nights. It's on Netflix. It's on Crunchyroll. Like, mm-hmm. If you have a digital subscription service of any fucking kind, or if you have any minor degree of Google skills, like, you can find and watch Attack on Titan.
Yeah.
Like, the only limiting factor is whether or not you're willing to read subtitles, and if you like, dark post-apocalyptic fantasy.
It's definitely, the one, I saw, like, a whole episode and then maybe, like, a third of an episode, and I would say that I was surprised by kind of the dark comedy, in that the protagonist is, like, comically intense.
Yeah.
Sometimes, where everyone around him is like, geez, man, calm down. It seems like he's just super keyed up about everything. I don't know. And it's hard to tell if it's meant to be as funny as it is.
I mean,
so, which is a fun line to be. I like that skirting line where you're
just like anime, like, overreaction, kind of overdramatic.
It's definitely
thing.
Anime style. Like, it's definitely, like, very, very stylistically Japanese. It's very, I liked it a lot.
Yeah, it's great.
So, full first season is out?
I think there's, like, three more episodes to come out before the season ends, I think. But it's set to be seasons long, many.
I would say look for some Attack on Titan costumes at Convergence, probably.
Oh, yeah.
And
sure.
Also, like, then look next year. I bet there's at least twice as many.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things that's, it's kind of like My Little Pony. I think it's one of those things that this is the beginning of it really catching on and
so
becoming.
So you're describing these Titans. I just got to say, it sounds a little bit like the mascot from Community, and I'm sure that's not really what it looks like.
Fatter.
But
think,
they're all shaped like the four guys that hang out in the alley in King of the Hill. All like doughy, buttless, like no genitals, bald. Some of them,
like that that cartoon Love Is with the little naked kids, like shaped like that, but enormous.
Love Is kind of eating like, humanity.
That same kind of weird fat round belly, like adorable.
They
run
really clumsily, but they're super.
So we don't
huge,
know,
fast.
And you don't know where the Titans came from or anything like that.
I am Molly. I'm sorry. I'm like 20 episodes in.
Yeah.
And you have no fucking clue, except you know some sinister shit. Ever since the very first episode, you know that the protagonist's dad is a doctor that did something. But you have no fucking clue what. And because these people are not high tech, I mean, there aren't, like, geneticists laying around, like, they can, make Titans or some shit like that. And I don't think it's fucking magic, because no one's talked about any magic. The only religion is based on the three walls and the three saints that the walls are named after or whatever. And, you know, God put those walls there to save humanity type shit. But, like, so it's got to be, I don't know, no fucking clue.
Awesome. That sounds really awesome.
So, Tim? What's your boner?
My boner. I'm super hard because we went on vacation. We went to Yellowstone National Park, and so was my first time ever at Yellowstone National Park. I mean, I'm kind of obsessive about national parks. I know it's crazy. I've thought it before, but
good cover.
Yeah, I think they bought it.
Yeah, good job.
I know, it's a huge shock, but I'd never been there before. I've been to a
that
lot
is
other,
shocking.
Yeah, and but you know, it's in the middle of fucking nowhere. You know,
right?
It's hard to get to.
Mm-hmm. Which it's in more than one state.
Three.
Right?
It's three actually states. It is almost all Wyoming, but then there are little slivers that are in Montana and Idaho.
Okay.
You can't get to the part that's in Idaho without a backcountry pass. Takes a while.
Tim didn't take the backcountry pass with his boner.
Yeah, I did not take. Yeah, thank you.
It doesn't get hard for the backcountry pass.
I don't.
You sounded so defeated.
I don't. It's a rough trip, so yeah.
So we were there for 5 days, which we got to see practically everything that you could see.
Yeah.
Old Faithful.
Oh, well, yeah, we saw Old Faithful like 4 times. We went and watched it. I couldn't get
it. So it's not just a clever name.
It's not just it just it keeps doing its thing.
It does the thing.
It's fucking awesome. But I couldn't get enough of it. It was really funny because our kids, it's like the third or fourth day in, Alex is like, well, you know, Can I stay in the car while you guys
while
you guys go look at the geyser? He's like, I've already seen a geyser.
Fucking
like,
teenagers.
Why? Oh, my God.
Teenagers.
There was one day we went to the Old Faithful Visitor Center just because we wanted to check. There are about 8 geysers in the park that are predictable.
Oh, sure.
And so we were like, well, we wanted to figure out when those were going to erupt. So
you could see as many geysers as possible.
If they're predictable, they could probably do like a tour, right?
Well, most of them are all in the Old Faithful Geyser Basin.
Oh, okay.
So there's a boardwalk, and it's only about, it's not as big as you'd think. That part of the park is huge.
Yeah.
But the part right around Old Faithful, the path maybe goes about 2 miles away from the visitor center and then comes back. So the furthest geyser is about 2 miles out. They all have, you know, some of them erupt, you know, Old Faithful erupts every 60 to 90 minutes. Some of them erupt, say, once every 8 hours or so.
Okay.
And they all have different predictability ranges. So Old Faithful is plus or minus 10 minutes. There's one of them that's like plus or minus 3 hours. It's like, well, we know it's going to erupt in this 6-hour window.
Yeah.
If you want to go up there and sit there for it, go for it.
How amazing if they all went at once. I mean, they got to sync up sometime, right?
You'd think there'd be geyser synchronicity.
I mean, but chaos theory says they sync up at least once in the world.
I don't know. I think it's like women. If you put them close enough together, they're more likely to sync up.
Works with mice.
It does. So there was one day that we just went to check on those times, and we're in the visitor center, and they're like, ladies and gentlemen, there's this geyser that's, you know, erupts higher than Old Faithful, and it's unpredictable, but it's about to erupt, and you should go see it.
Oh, wow.
And the kids had been like, oh, we're going to stay in the car. And we're like, they're like, it's going to erupt in about 5 minutes, and it's me and my mom and Pat, and we're like, should we go get the kids? I'm like, screw that. They didn't come in the car.
They won't appreciate it.
We hoofed it over to see. It's called Beehive Geyser because the spout looks like a beehive.
Yeah. I bet that thing goes crazy.
Oh, it was fucking awesome. It was just this, I mean, because it's a much tighter hole than yeah, I know. Because, yeah, it's a boner. Anyway. Yeah.
But it's, if it's beehive shaped, it would almost be like the nozzle, like a high pressure nozzle.
It is a high pressure nozzle, so it shoots. Awesome. It shoots a lot higher, and it's much really more concentrated.
Oxygen.
And it's rifled on the inside, and
yeah, you know. It was just so fucking cool. And one day we really went up to, there's a place called Lamar Valley, which is just where there's more wildlife than you can even imagine. You're driving down the road, and there's
imagine
like
a lot of wildlife.
There's like a you look out your window, and you see like 1,000 bison.
What?
1,000 bison. You know, with
you're right.
And,
that's more than I was imagining.
Yeah. And it's calving season, so there's you know 100 little bison calves running around, and then you get to a different part of the park, and you would look for the people with spotting scopes, because whenever there was like a cluster of like 20 spotting scopes, there was something awesome to see. There was a cluster of 20 spotting scopes, and they were all looking at a grizzly bear that was on the side of a mountain with her cub.
How big is this park that there's a place to put 1,000 bison and 100 babies?
It's huge.
I can't even fathom it.
It's huge. It is. And the bison were everywhere. There was a day where we literally spent 45 minutes driving through bison.
Like with a cow push on front of your car.
No, because you had to wait until they got off the fucking
road.
That'd
be amazing.
I've got pictures. I should post a couple, because I've got pictures of these bison. You know, 12
but
of them.
Stupid faces. They're stupid.
No, it was their stupid butts. But
how many megs? No, how many gigs of bison photos do you have?
I don't even want to think about it. I have so many pictures of bison.
Complained on Facebook and said, "I'm starting to feel like these are less majestic than they were originally." You said you were getting tired of them.
I felt because after a while we didn't try it. We didn't pull over every time we saw a bison.
And you were like, "I feel like maybe I'm getting bison jaded."
Yeah, you'd see a car pulled over by the side of the road, you'd be like, "Oh, well, there aren't any geysers around here, so I bet there are a couple of bison." Yep, there they are. And you just keep driving fast, spotted a few more bison.
These guys are on like day two.
Yeah, but there were elks. There was a herd of elk that was up by Mammoth Hot Springs that, again, was just hanging out by the path. I mean, they were just sitting by the path. When you walked around the geyser basin by Old Faithful, there was two bison that were sleeping a foot from the edge of the path.
It's like Fonderosa in the wild, though. Like the place we go by the cabin. Yeah. There's the giant walk-in petting zoo on my...
You don't touch him. But there was another spot where there was a black bear just eating berries by the side of the road. And there were about, I kid you not, 40 cars stopped. And they've got rangers, because they've got rules. You cannot get within 100 yards of a bear. Because that's stupid, right?
The bear and the ranger, like... friendly enemies.
But people are stupid, so they're these
just
two rangers.
Reprimanding them for stealing
they're
a picnic
these two
basket.
Rangers, and their entire job is to keep the crowd 100 yards away from the bear. So every time the bear moves, the ranger's like, "All right, everybody, move over here," because people if left to their own devices, if there isn't somebody there telling them to stop, the people are going to assume, well, and there were people that would, like, get out of their car, they would walk up to the edge of the road and just start walking down towards the bear, not listening to the ranger, like, sir, you can't get any closer to the bear. They're like, what? Do you get it? They don't get it.
The rangers are doing us an evolutionary disservice.
They should have let them. The problem is then they have to destroy the bear. And they don't
I know.
Have to do that.
I know I agree. In this scenario, the problem is that they have to destroy the bear.
Yeah. I mean, like, I understand, but I disagree, because, like, that's just, you know, a bear being a bear.
Right?
Like,
yeah.
He was just trying to eat berries in peace, man. I don't know why you gotta walk
him.
Eat two body over to me.
Stuck it in his face. Can't use a fucking telephoto lens.
You are hot dogs on legs, and you are a moving buffet coming toward me. You are full of hot blood and meat. Like, why would I not tear you to bits? That's all I can smell when you come over here is your delicious blood.
The funny story about the bear is we parked to get a picture of it and to look at it, because, I mean, fucking bear, right?
Yeah.
You know, and. We parallel parked, what we didn't see was there was this culvert that ran under the road, and it had a stone arch over the culvert. And what she managed to do was park the car so one wheel was on one side of the culvert and the other wheel was on the other side of the culvert.
That's lucky.
And the van was not sitting on the wheels, it was sitting on the running board.
Oh
boy.
And so we're like, shit, we stopped to see this bear, and the ranger comes over, he's like, "You guys are going to need a wrecker." And I look at it and I'm like, I'm from fucking Minnesota. Fuck if I need a wrecker. I know how to get a car. So
yeah.
we had like 8 people come over and push it out. And we actually got it pushed out.
And all this time the bear is just like,
all this time whatever. The bear's over there eating berries. And there's like 200 people taking pictures of the bear. Like, fuck these people with the car. They don't give a shit. But
bears are awesome.
I was disappointed as soon as the bear didn't help push.
Well, it couldn't come within 100 yards of the people. I mean, the rules are there for a reason. Anyway, it was just, I could talk for days about it. it was really just fucking amazing.
That's awesome.
5 days was awesome, and we saw virtually everything, and I could have gone to see all of it again.
Man, that sounds like a lot of fun. I could go there.
I highly recommend Yellowstone National Park. If you have never been. We also spent 2 days in Grand Teton National Park, which is directly south of there.
I'm seeing these stickers on your computer here. You got new stickers from both Grand Teton and Yellowstone.
Yeah, because my computer gets stickers.
You're putting them on upside down from how you put them on the back of your last laptop.
Well, I got to do it differently. I got to change. I got to evolve.
I believe
in evolution. All right, so anyway, we should probably stop with my boner. Because
it's pretty big.
I don't.
What's regale us with a tale of your member?
My boner's tale is an epic one because I am halfway through book 7 of the Dark Tower series right now. I started a reread. I don't know, like 2-3 weeks ago, I guess.
How many times have you read the 7 books that is the Dark Tower series?
All 7 books. I believe this is my 5th time through all 7 books in a row.
But you've read The Gunslinger, like...
I've read the first 3, which is The Gunslinger, The Drawing of the Three, and The Wasteland. I have read those 3 books 20 times easily.
Wow.
Easily. I that might even be a low estimate. I started reading those when I was 10, and I read them...
You had to wait for them
yearly.
All.
I had to wait for book 4. I waited 9 years before the 4th one came out when I was 19, which I now know is hilarious. And I read the 4th book, and then it was another... It was like... I think it was like another 6 years before the next one came out. So it was a while. And then he did like 6-7 or 5-6-7, like boom, boom, boom. They came out.
You introduced me to these books and I started reading them right before the 5th book came out.
Yes.
So I got to like hop onto the bandwagon and just finish it right up.
Minimal waiting.
It'd be like starting to read Game of Thrones right now.
Yeah, minimal.
Or maybe
minimal,
in a year.
But No, but it's funny because I don't forget any bits of it, but I forget how much I love it and how immersive it is for me until I'm rereading it again, and then I can't get some of the speech patterns out of my mouth. It's kind of funny. Like they have a very specific way of talking in a couple of these towns and that the books take place in, most specifically 4 and 5, especially when they're in the Cala in book 5, and it's like. if someone was to say, you know, oh, we're having soup for dinner, you might say, ah, do ya? And that means, like, cool. Or, like, agreed, sounds great, that will do me, do ya? You use it for a bunch of different ways. It's really dumb. And it's one of these little slang things that's, like, creeps in.
Inner text messages, even.
Yeah, I'll have to, like, I'll send it by accident, and I'm like, I'll just write, sorry. Like, just sorry.
So if Nick didn't know you were reading the Dark Tower trilogy because he was in the room when you were reading it, he would know because your texts start suddenly becoming Dark Tower.
Yeah, I would think so.
Telltale.
Yeah, I have a, and it's so much more in my mind than anyone could even know. Like, it's everything. It consumes, it's every single thing. It's like I'm seeing the world through the Dark Tower lens the whole time I'm reading it, and everything. If I'm not drinking water, I'm sharing caffeine. I think it's so dumb. I'm so embarrassed to say it, but like, it's like everything I do, I think of it like in terms of what they're doing in the books or like what it means and how it's going. I don't know.
So, Is it fair to say that Dark Tower is your favorite Stephen King?
Dark Tower is like my favorite thing.
Your favorite thing ever.
I think if someone told me I could only read one series of anything, any books for the rest of my life, it would be Dark Tower.
Book, movie, video game, like any form of media.
Dark Tower.
You'd pick Dark Tower.
I'd pick Dark Tower because it's 7 books that I could read. I could just start over with book 1 when I finished 7 every time. I mean, I would eventually get tired of it, like, you'd get tired of anything if you had to pick one thing for the rest of your life, but...
For sure. So, having not read the Dark Tower series, was it, like, originally envisioned as a series of seven books, or is it one of those things where he wrote the first three and then felt like he had more to say?
It's hard to say. He speaks about it in a very unusual way that he actually wrote himself into... It's hard to... I don't know. It's hard to explain without giving a lot away, but he wrote the first book. It's the story of the gunslinger... In its original way, is the first thing he ever wrote. It's before he wrote Carrie. It's before he wrote anything else. And then
he started writing it at 19 years old.
Yep. And so then he got Carrie published. And then he went back to the Dark Tower. And then he got Salem's Lot published. And then he went back to the Dark Tower and he, like, fleshed it out into more of a short story. And he shopped it around to some science fiction and fantasy magazines. They picked it up. It got put in those digesty kind of magazines, sure. You know. Yeah. And then people liked it enough that they were like, his publishers were like, you should write it as a book. Like you should write The Gunslinger. And so he did. And then he... Just the way he talks about these epic stories is like they happen, and he is told to write them down is how he describes it, and it's kind of twee or whatever. But that's, I mean, it's like the characters are speaking to him. He doesn't know what the story is until he's writing it a lot of the time.
Sure.
And so he's just he considers it his opus, and a lot of the car accident that he got in, the van that hit him when he
right.
on June 19th, 1999, fucked him up a lot, I think, and altered the course of where these books were going. Who can say where they might have gone had that not happened? It definitely affected him in a way that echoes throughout the book series very strongly.
Is it the sort of thing where, you know, he could return to it?
No, it's over. It's written. Okay. The beauty of it, I don't want to give much away.
No, it's
all right. It is complete. The story, there are no loose ends. The story is 100% complete. There is nothing, no question unanswered.
Some people might disagree with that.
Some people might disagree with that, but I would say that those people are upset about not getting resolution to their favorite thing.
Yeah,
maybe.
I've heard people's complaints about the ending, and I disagree. I loved the ending and the ending plus.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things, Tim, where it's like any really long epic, like Harry Potter or something. I mean, like, you could write more.
You get to the end of Harry Potter and you're like, well, but the story that she was writing about Harry and Voldemort is over, and yet there are volumes that could be written about what takes place after.
And this is different than that.
Uh-huh.
Actually.
But he wrote The Wind Through the Keyhole, which is not a sequel or a prequel, but an in-between-quel.
Sure, it's playing in the same universe.
But it fits in between timelines with the same characters. It fits in between two books. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, here's a story that Roland tells around the fire of that when they're around the fire before this book but after this book. Like, it's mm-hmm. so it's like inserting a little coin, like, dink, right in there in the arch. But I don't know. It's one of the few. Stephen King is one of the few things that I love so passionately and so completely that I don't give a fuck if anyone else likes it, and I don't really care to debate it. Like, if somebody, which people try to do all the time, they'll be like trying to say like oh, I don't like Stephen King. I don't think any of his books are any good, and I'm always just like, well, you're wrong.
Yeah.
And if they're like, well, they want to talk about it, it's like, why. Why would we talk about when we so fundamentally disagree? Like, it just...
Sure, that's how I feel about my favorite movies. I wouldn't want to debate Raiders of the Lost Ark. I wouldn't want somebody to sit there and tell me why it's awful. I'm like, you know what? You don't have to like it, but nothing you can say is going to make me not like it.
Right. And it's more to the point that it's like, if someone says they don't like it, I feel like I can't even begin to understand where they're coming from ever. So I wouldn't even know where to start to talk to them about it. So,
sure.
Anyway, that's my boner, and I apologize for any clandestine nature. I always want people to read the books and not, because I think it's important.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
No, that's all right. No spoiler. Makes sense.
All right. Yeah. So we have five questions.
Oh my God.
Coming to us from our listener. The listener is Josh Robertson, who heard us on our Minnesota Atheist Talk Radio.
Awesome. We were so good on Minnesota Atheist Talk Radio. We were really interesting.
He says that he's always been on the edge between agnostic and atheist beliefs since fifth grade or so. I'm always amazed to meet more atheists because our culture is so pervasive with religious blather, thinking, and now demands. So he says he's at an airport when he writes this, and he's thinking about how 25% of the U.S. population thinks the Earth is the center of the solar system, and it's making him really depressed, so he's writing to us.
Yeah, that would make me, that would make me depressed because I'd be looking at this huge crowd of people and going, one in four of these people is an idiot.
Yeah, yeah.
For that reason.
And I don't know which ones they are.
All right, so let's get to his questions.
Question number one, what's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
Star Wars Clone Wars. I fucking love this shit. It's not shit, but it's turbo awesome, smothered with awesome sauce. Growing up as a geek and playing the West End game, Star Wars the role-playing game, we danced between episode 4 and 5 as the time period. We read the rule books and all available geekery, which was rather limited in 1987. We had to think of what could be possible with the Force, such as propelling yourself through open space, using a lightsaber to cut through the hull of a ship. In the Clone Wars series, they do all of it. It's like my imagination got tapped and it's all pouring out on the screen in front of me. Fucking epic. Love it. And yes, I am 38. Suck it.
It's, you know, we aren't judging you, man.
Yeah. No judgment here.
The Clone Wars is the animated in-between stuff. Right? Yeah, it's one of the actual
between
movies.
Episode 2 and Episode 3, I think, is the best.
Separatists fighting against the...
Some of the people that were involved with Samurai Jack did that?
Yeah. It's one of... That's why the animation is that kind of cool, like, cell... style, right? Isn't it? Like, it's not...
Well, no, cel-shaded, yeah. But then 3D animated.
It is 3D animated. Yeah. And they had a Clone Wars movie, and then there's a series, and I have watched, like, one or two episodes. I'm a really bad geek, but I've heard nothing but good things.
Yeah, it's got a really, really dedicated fan base.
Really well done. So, question number two. What is your favorite atheist character?
Never even thought about it, but Han Solo has always ruled, so that's pretty easy. Captain Kirk is another solid pick.
Yeah, I don't know if Star Trek. We assume Captain Kirk is an atheist.
Yeah, because
there's no religion.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no religion in Star Trek, so it seems likely that Kirk's an atheist.
Yeah. Question number three: what's your geekiest hobby?
Dungeons and Dragons. I have played since fifth grade and I never looked back. In college, I didn't play much, but after I was right back at it. When I was single for 5 years and dating, I had Josh's three deadly sins that essentially guaranteed a woman would run away. D&D, atheism, and the last, which will remain unsaid, were the two that sent more women running than I could ever imagine.
I didn't even know what the third was. I don't know. Look it up.
A mystery.
Not surprisingly, perhaps, for me to think that, but Jesus fucking Christ, it was nothing short of retarded. On over 75 first dates over 4 years or so, plus countless introductions, the value of sharing the deadly sins was nearly diabolical. It sent many straight out the door, and many others simply shut down and didn't know what to say. Dating a liberal atheist who games is a big hump for many women, and I don't mean humping a man who looks like a linebacker. Although I do, I'm just a very thoughtful thinker in a big body that plays D&D. Well, right fucking on.
Yeah, D&D.
I don't know anything about anyone.
See, he doesn't
like that.
Yeah, no, that doesn't ring any bells.
He doesn't say what edition, but okay, he's 38, so I got to think second edition if he's starting in fifth grade, because I started about the same time in fifth grade, and I'm about 10 years older than
him. I started in about fourth or fifth grade, and it was second edition for me, and he's...
38, he's older than me.
He's 6 years older than me.
So it's probably second.
I was 2.5 really.
Yeah, so I bet he started with second edition.
Probably.
I don't know what he's playing now. He doesn't say, but I was ADD. AD&D, excuse me.
Well, wait, AD&D is second or 2.5, isn't
it? No, AD&D is AD&D. There was Dungeons and Dragons and Advanced Dungeons and Dragons, and there was Dungeons and Dragons 2. So anyway.
All right, so question number 4.
What's your favorite sandwich?
Hamburger. Medium rare. Ketchup. Never fucking catsup. That sounds like cum wrung from a cat. Avocado. Bacon. Cheese. Miracle Whip for that puntangy zip. Lettuce. Tomato. Don't fuck it up.
Sounds all very specific.
Very specific. That's what we asked for.
Absolutely.
Sounds like a good burger. Question number 5. What is the stupidest thing anybody has ever said to you about your atheism?
Stupidity. It's rampant. Where can I start? Satanism is a big one people accuse me of. At least in high school it was. These days most people have faith but claim to be religious in some way. More recently I've seen and heard religious people pushing that their freedom of religion allows them to basically do anything they want. Passing hate-driven laws and ignoring science facts while blathering on their cell phone and then shaking their hands to the sky invoking the power of an invisible ultimate power because they don't understand me, or their phone, or them internets. Yet they surround themselves with technology and pretend that a god did it all when it was actually a 14-year-old kid chained to an ass blaster of an assembly line looking at detailed prints of how to assembly this plastic and metal hunk of shit I type on now. God made them brilliant enough to throw up their hands at the slightest need to think so. When my atheism comes up, they have a similar reaction as if I've told them they must disarm a nuclear weapon by using their ass lips and genital hair only. In short, their responses are generally unintelligible and full of such random thought that a popcorn air popper seems highly organized.
You know, I remember reading these answers when they came in, and now it's wow. That's the most awesome answer ever.
That was pretty fucking epic, that's Josh. That's
pretty fucking... I have nothing to add.
Well, Josh Robertson, thank you very much for your five answers. Sure. Guys, do you guys feel like your boner's wilting away?
Well, a little bit, but you know, it is the Tuesday before conversion.
Oh, I'm hard again. Hallelujah. Oh my God.
There it is.
Oh, my God.
Nothing cures the instant refractory period like conversion.
Better than Viagra for a geeky boner.
I gotta tell you guys, I'm so excited for conversion, so what's our show time?
7 o'clock Saturday, so you're gonna have to miss the masquerade. But who gives a shit? Because
choose or die.
I'll be wearing something slutty, so if that changes your mind.
And our guests.
Me too.
Our guests are Rebecca Watson.
Yeah.
Who is on our fourth episode? So she's coming back. And Dr. Rubidium.
Oh, awesome.
Two guests at 7 o'clock Saturday night. And we have badge ribbons, don't we?
Yes, we do. So we have badge ribbons. If you come up to one of us, any one of us, or all together, and if you sing our theme song, we will give you a badge ribbon.
It doesn't have to be the whole fucking
song. Just sing it a little bit. And don't just come up and say, give me a badge ribbon, because you won't get anything. And then you'll sing, and I'll be like, nope, it's too late. You ruined it.
That's not true. I'll give you one if you sing, even if you didn't sing it first. Nick's nicer than Molly.
He's nicer than me. I'm real mean.
She's bad cop.
We're going to be on a lot of other panels, and I will make sure that I have links to all three of our schedules in the show notes.
If you go to convergence-con.org and go to the schedules, you can search by our names. You can search for Tim Wick. You can search for just Glover, and you'll find both of us there. So that's a good way to go and see what we're on.
We're doing another conspiracy theory panel.
We are. That's going to be Thursday at 3:30. Definitely come check that one out.
Is it Thursday at 3:30?
No, that's the It's Okay to Hate Things.
Oh, you're right. It is. That's the other one that I'm on with Jeremy.
I don't remember.
Anyway, we'll look it up. We'll look it up. Use the Googles.
Molly's going to be on SmackDown this year.
I am going to be on SmackDown. It's going to be really great. Viltan and all kinds of fun stuff.
Yeah. We're going to be all over the place.
Come on out and don't ghost, or I'll make sure you get kicked out. I just can't stand it.
Yeah.
All right. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Share us on iTunes and do all the things. We'll see you guys some other time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, your boner's so big.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Do all the things.